kings of disaster. Let him in constancy follow the master.
I lie down before you and cradled in the love of Jesus, I'll find security.
Heavenly Father, remind us why we're here today in fellowship. Remind us that we have need of feeding, need of your word, your presence, and those touches within our heart that only you and you alone can give. For we ask this now in Jesus' name. Amen, amen. I have a title today for us to consider, and we're calling this Yielding is an Affection or Attitude of the Heart. Yielding is an affection or attitude of the heart. This is the key to understanding why we do what we do, why we follow the Lord, why we love His word, we trust Him when we go through these trials and testings. This is the key to understanding all about this walk, the walk of a disciple. This is the understanding of the deeper life in the Spirit, what God is teaching us. And that's why I'm calling this teaching today, Yielding is an Affection or Attitude of the Heart. You see, affection is the key to understand the nature in which we yield. Now, the term affection simply means a fondness. It's a liking. Or, in other words, I'm being affected. I'm being influenced. I'm being changed. And that is the work of the Holy Spirit. He's come baptizing us. He's come back to us to influence us, to encourage us, to work with us. This is why we say so often that He works in us both to will and do for His good pleasure. And that is why we have to understand as Christians, on one side of the coin, we are saved. On the other side of the coin, or the flip side, as they say, we are being saved. In other words, we are being drawn out. We are being brought out from. What are we being brought out from? This world. And so this is the miraculous work of salvation. And this is why we make so much of the fact that you have to be truly born again. You have to become a new creation, as Christ clearly laid out. And of course, He is the doorway through to that new creation. So this affection of yielding is really just another term of obeying God. Because we know that obeying God is the highest achievement for the Christian in which to achieve to please our Heavenly Father. And we all know at times we don't obey as we should. And so God works something within us in which to obey Him. And He begins to work this affection in the heart. And as we're going to look at today, if that affection is not there, you're not going to be interested. You might be interested just for a while, but it won't continue. And that is why God shows us that we are to endure, we're to stay with it right to the end. That's the challenge of our walk in this life. And the only way we will ever endure and remain and stay with it to the end is when we allow the Spirit to work within us that affection for yielding, so that it is in the heart, not in the head. And how is this achieved? Well, obviously it's birthed out of our love for God, our love for the Word of God, because that gives us faith to believe, and our loyalty and so on. You see, yielding is an understanding of the heart, or it's the affection of the soul. So in other words, my obeying God affects my whole being. It is my body, soul, spirit in operation. All is yielding to God. It's not just my flesh being religious, abstaining from things, but my mind or heart thinking differently. We'll look at that later on. Because there are many who become monastics. There are many who become monks or nuns. And they're very, very disciplined outwardly in the flesh. But the heart, the mind is lusting for other things. And that is not acceptable before God. This is why I said at the beginning, you have to become a new creation. For God to completely do that work in and through us. And this is why he has come bringing healing and deliverance to body, soul, and spirit. That is the nature of the preaching of the gospel. And whenever we water any of that down, we are bringing God's people into bondage. This is why we hold on to the promises of God's word. And this is why we continue preaching to the whole man, not just part of him, which so much of Christendom is preaching. And that is why they still rely on the arm of the flesh, because they do not trust or believe or see that God delivers the whole person to trust him and to walk by faith. And God isn't going to give us a partial salvation. It is a whole, complete work. That is the challenge of the deeper life. That is what it means to walk as a disciple. There's no stone in your life that God is not going to leave unturned. That is why at times he goes to the most minutest, minuscule area in your life sometimes and challenges it. And that to me shows that spiritual surgeon's knife that is going deep, deep, deep down into the crevices, to the roots, and bringing them out. You see, only God can do that, because he knows us better than we know ourselves. You see, it's an area of our walk that we have to learn and grow into. We have to really learn that God is going to work, if we let him, these godly affections that please him. And he's going to work that, because nobody in their right senses would give up a few hours and come to a meeting or come online to something like this, or go into their closet and pray for an hour or two. Nobody in their right senses does any of that. We can think of a myriad things better to do in life. And outwardly, they probably are. But we know that God's ways are not man's ways. And so God, in revealing himself through Jesus Christ, he has to put that affection within our hearts that pleases him, what he wants from us. And that's why it is a miraculous work. And so it's an area of our walk that we have to learn and grow into, and it's called sonship. You grow into this as you mature, as you grow up. And this is why the world cannot surrender their selfish will up to God. Because doing the will of God holds no affection in their heart. And the heart is the key. And so that world out there isn't going to surrender their selfish will, because there's no affection in their hearts to do so. And there go you and I, brothers and sisters, if it were not for the grace and mercy of God. So we start to begin to appreciate this fantastic, great work that God is working in us, changing us into his likeness. Now, let us just remind ourselves of two scriptures that we know well in Jeremiah 13. In Jeremiah 13 and verse 23. Jeremiah 13 and verse 23. He says, "Can the Ethiopian change his skin, or the leopard his spots? Then may you also do good who are accustomed to do evil." So he raises that question. Can they change their skin? Can a leopard change its spots? Well, we obviously know it can't. There's only one who can change man's heart, because that is what he's going to. He's using that to get to the nature of man, to his heart. And then let us turn also to Ezekiel 36. Ezekiel 36 and verses 26 to 27. Verses 26 to 27 of Ezekiel 36. And he says, "I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I will take the heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will keep my judgments and do them." So look what he says he will do. He says, "I will give you a new heart. Your heart is no good. Don't even try to walk. Don't even try to glorify my name. Don't even try to please me with your old heart." Because he says it's no good. A new heart. And he says, "I will put a new heart and put a new spirit within you." So he has to work that new heart and spirit within you. So it is a spiritual work of change. And he says, "I will take the heart of stone," which is what the old heart was. That is what your heart was. That is what my heart was. And he says, "I will take the heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh." So what he does by putting this new heart within us changes the flesh. Look at the miraculous side of that. And that is why we hold to healing and deliverance. Because he says he's put a new heart within us. I will take the heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. So because I now have a heart of flesh, I have a new heart, a heart in the image of my Father. That is why we believe in divine healing as well. It's wholeness to the whole of man, body, soul, spirit. And of course, we find that Christians go against this. They argue with us. God isn't healing today. He is, because the Bible says he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. It is the heart that's the issue. And sometimes we find we still battle in areas of faith. And you know why? Because the heart is the issue. Because that is where sin lies. But praise God, he's even provided for that through the atonement, through the work of the blood of Christ. And that's why we deal with sin. We deal with unbelief for that very purpose, so that that life that has given us a new heart and a new spirit within us continues to flow daily in our lives. That's called walking by faith. That is what it is. And only a new heart or that new rebirth will cause any change in my life. It's interesting, isn't it, that some for a while give up all the worldly things and that they're going to follow the Lord and obey him and everything. But after a while, it doesn't continue. Why? Because it doesn't hold that true affection in the heart. Some professing Christians who have gone back have been dishonest, because they have never allowed the Spirit to search their hearts. And he will search your heart if you ask him, if you let him. Search me, O Lord. Try me, test me, and see if there's any wicked way in me. That's what King David was asking God, because he knew his heart could deceive him. And it seems there are some who profess Christ who are quite willing to live in that deception. And who are they deceiving at the end of themselves, at the end of the day? Themselves. Even the devil knows. Even the devil can see whether we have an affection for God or not. Even the devil can see whether we want to change into his likeness or not. And this is why the Lord says, when you become a believer, disciple, you sit down first and count the cost. In other words, you sit down and you say, Lord, I am willing for you to change me, to chastise me, to correct me, to change this heart of stone to a heart of flesh. That is what it means when you sit down. And some don't have a clue with regard to that. They just go off with it. And you know why? Because it's emotions. It's feelings. But it doesn't last. As I say so often, roots have to go down deep and penetrate before you get any growth. But of course, we can also recognize this by our actions. And this is why God allows us to go through the trials and tribulations. He's allowing us to go through these to show us where our heart and affection lies. Now, he wouldn't do this unless he had a purpose and a reason behind it. And one of the reasons, there are many, but one I believe that he shows me is because we are so good at deceiving ourselves. That's why. Now, what does it say in 2 Corinthians 13 and verse 5? Again, you know these scriptures very well. But it says here in 2 Corinthians 13 and verse 5, examine yourselves as to whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not know yourselves that Jesus Christ is in you, unless indeed you are disqualified? So he says, test yourself. Who is in you? Is it you? Your desires, your lusts, your wants? Or is it Christ in me, the hope of glory? Test that. Decide, in other words, what you want. Do you want him in you, to remain in you? Then you have to test that sometimes. And you say to me, well, Pastor, how do I do that? Well, we're doing it today. This very meeting, this very teaching, this very sermon is touching on those points so that we know. You see, this is the love and grace and mercy of God, because he knows we can't do this. This is why we never should get a wrong attitude toward what God is doing with us. And sometimes it does seem hard. Sometimes it does seem as though he's become my enemy. But it isn't. Because if you stay with it, you'll then understand the mind and heart and thinking of your Father. Because he wants you to experience him. He wants you to know his heart. And the only way you will know his heart is when you allow your heart to be examined under the mighty eye of God. Then you begin to understand. It all starts to make sense. It all is so different. You begin to realize the world cannot give you what God is giving you, because they are blinded to God's ways. As I've already said, the affection is not in their hearts. If it was, we would have millions today in this room sharing with us. No, no, God never gets it wrong. And this is why we have to be at times hard on ourselves. There's nothing wrong with being hard on yourselves. You know, when you ask God to search you, that you want a pure heart before him, a heart of flesh, that's being hard, that's searching yourself, that's telling him, I mean business with you, Lord. And God won't turn his back on that. He'll take that up and he'll work. That's why I say, if any of you have been through a trial this week, and maybe some of you have, well, I can tell you, you went through that because you were asking him. You're asking him for that new heart. You're asking him to walk by faith and not by sight. And that's why it's happening. So don't think it's strange when these trials and tests come, because you're asking for it. Praise the Lord. And he's allowing it. He's working it. Of course, the flesh doesn't like it. But you will see the fruit that is born by it in time. And that's the most important thing. What does it say in 1 Corinthians 9 and verse 27? 1 Corinthians 9 and verse 27. And here he says, the apostle says here, but I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified. So he realizes also as a preacher that he's not only got to preach, but he himself has got to live it and do it and be that example. But that principle goes for us as well. So it does mean that we are hard on ourselves. We're hard on ourselves if we've not spent that quality time as we should have done with the Lord. Or I've wasted this day on other stupid pursuits or whatever it is. We've all done it and we do it. We waste time instead of giving that to the Lord and allowing that disciplined life to come. It is a disciplined life. And I'm not going to say differently. It is. We are in a spiritual army. We are being trained every day for that spiritual combat and walk in this life. And he is going to discipline us. Now, most of us are not disciplined. This is why we have to ask him to do it. Otherwise, we'll try and discipline ourselves and we do it in the flesh. And that's what monks and nuns and highly religious people do. It becomes a ritual. It becomes vain repetition and so on. No, the Spirit disciplines us. The same as the Holy Spirit disciplined Christ to receiving the cross and going to the cross, so the Spirit will discipline us, but he won't do it in bondage, in a religious way. In actual fact, this discipline actually releases us. It delivers us. Because he says, if the Son shall set you free, you are free indeed. That is true freedom and liberty, by allowing the Spirit to discipline us and to bring everything into subjection to the will of God. And we're all a work still in process on that. I most certainly am, but I don't give up on it. Now that has to be an affection of the heart. It's not going to happen otherwise. And so God's working that affection within our hearts for the disciplined life and walk as a disciple. Now, it doesn't matter what the world say. It doesn't matter what your family says. They all think we're peculiar. They all think that we're hiding ourselves, locking ourselves away, or whatever it would be. Well, they don't understand, but they will one day. But the point is, we do what our Heavenly Father says. And if he says prayer, and he says prayer to you at 3 o'clock in the morning or 4 o'clock in the morning, your flesh is going to say otherwise. Oh, you can't get up that time. You get up at that time. Come 12 o'clock, you'll be absolutely finished. You won't be able to keep awake. Well, they're the lies of the flesh of the devil. You see, we defy what the flesh will say. The flesh will always tell you, you can't do it. You can't discipline yourself. You can't pray like Christ. You can't walk like he did. You can't love like he did, and so on. That's what the flesh says. And that's where the enemy is vocal. He works in the mind. The mind is the part of the flesh. And that's why God says he'll renew our minds if we let him. And he does. You see, we're learning more and more, aren't we, brothers and sisters? This is a real supernatural walk. This is something that only God can and does. And this is why we give him all the praise and all the glory, because greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. What does Galatians tell us? Galatians 4:19. Galatians chapter 4 and verse 19. My little children, for whom I labour in birth again until Christ is formed in you. He laboured in his ministry because he saw that Christ has to be birthed. Here's this growth. In other words, he was seeing affection needs to be put in their hearts because they ain't going to do it otherwise. And this is what we pray. And this is why we pray one for another. We pray for our brothers and sisters. Father, put that affection within his heart that for prayer. Put that affection in her heart so that she can get into the Word and learn more about you. Those are the sort of prayers that we should be praying one for another. Put that affection, that godly desire within their hearts to turn away from that sin or weakness in their lives. That's what we pray, because when we pray that, we're doing what James says, praying one another that you may be healed, delivered. We pray the wrong prayers too often. And that's what we should be praying. You see, it's interesting, isn't it, that somebody who smokes may give up the habit because of health or the doctors have warned them, but not necessarily willingly. And there's the difference. There are some who give up habits, but they don't really do it willingly. The only way we can give up these habits, these sins of the flesh, is in the heart. It has to be an affection. Not willingly. Or I have to do this because otherwise I won't go to heaven. Or it will not be good for me. Or whatever it will be. You see, it's a very subtle area, this. This is why God looks at the motive of the heart. Out of the heart is the issues of life, God says. You see, a soldier, he may go through all the training and all the hardships that are involved in it, but it doesn't necessarily imply that such the dangers and trials that they go through, and they do, hold any real affection in the heart. They become soldiers because it looks good, and it's training, and it's hard on the flesh, and I'm defending my country, and so on. But when the real battle comes, and the trials, it doesn't necessarily mean that they have an affection in the heart for it. You see, it certainly doesn't hold an affection in the heart for us, because we know that killing, in whatever situation, is wrong, period. I believe, and we should believe as Christians, in the sanctity of life, not death. And there's the difference. And that's why trials will often sift the Christian, because there was no real affection in the heart. Because if it was, they wouldn't turn away. Now, it's interesting looking at this a step further, but affection is like, it's like enjoying a nice meal or listening to real anointed Christian music. You don't have to work at that. Most of us don't have to work at that. Why? Because there's an affection there for it. Who doesn't like a nice meal? Blessed company. Served at the table. We like that because we have an affection for it. It's the same with nice music that blesses. We have an affection for it. And that is what God wants to work in your life and my life, to yield and obey. Now, that is a miracle, isn't it? That God can work in my heart an affection to yield to him whatever he asks and requires of me. Not even to question, but just to trust him and believe him. Can God do that? Well, I believe he can, because he is God. And if he can't do it, then there's no point me preaching, certainly. You see, there has to be an affection for the teaching and preaching of the Word of God. There has to be an affection within our hearts to want to come and meet together in his presence. Otherwise, it doesn't happen. You know, there has to be an affection in the heart to meet regularly for prayer. Not only just individually, but corporately. God has to put that within our hearts. Because otherwise, there's no point doing anything or coming to a meeting if you don't really enjoy it. And eventually, that will manifest itself for what it is. We come because there's an affection in the heart. And who has worked on that affection? Well, Almighty God. That's why. And that affection has to be there if ever you're going to yield. So the question is, where is our affection? Where is it? Well, that's why you ask God to search your heart. Because we don't know our hearts, the Bible tells us. And as God searches, so he's cleansing, renewing, changing that heart of stone to a heart of flesh, so that we have an affection to yield to him whatever he requires of us. You see, God doesn't want robots. He doesn't want us having to do it. He doesn't want us even today in this meeting here because I'm doing it to please God. I have to be obedient to him. Why bother? It's never going to happen. And yet you have Christians who think like that. And it will never happen. No, it has to be an affection. A love, a desire, the right heart, the right attitude, and then you learn, you grow. Everything will flourish from that right motive and heart. Are we beginning now to understand, brothers and sisters, the only way we're going to please God and to be obedient to him is that he puts that desire, that affection within our hearts, because it isn't going to happen otherwise. Now, as I close with this, this is a very important scripture in what I'm expounding on today to understand this. And turn with me, if you will, to Colossians 3 and verse 1. Colossians 3 and verse 1. And he says this, if then you were raised with Christ, so that's the consideration, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. And there's the key to it. He says you set your mind, your heart on things above. And how is that achieved? By asking. You ask the Lord, Lord, help me to set my mind on things above, not on the earth. And God says, right, I'll take you up on that. That is what you've asked, and that is what I will do. And now we have to go through some trials and tribulations in which to accomplish that. Can you see now how the mighty hand of God works with us? Now, we don't get to that point where we think, well, I'm not going to pray that prayer. I'm not going to ask the Lord to do that, because if I do, I know there's going to be a trial and tribulation coming. Well, I've got news for you, friends. There's no gain without any pain. Even the world knows that one. But you see, you've got an assurance with your trials. God says, I'm not going to let you be tried above that which you're able to endure. I will have that trial under complete control. It may look as though the enemy is in control, but he is not. And that is where our faith comes in, our trust, our love for the Lord. So hold on to those things. When your next trial comes, just say, "This, I don't like this in the flesh. I'm not liking what I see in the natural, but my Heavenly Father is in control in this, and He will have the final say." And you'll find then the grace is there. You'll find that fear and unbelief and all that's trying to hinder just suddenly starts to just go away. And you just, it's like you're being held as you're going through that trial. And you know God is going to bring you out the other side purified. So you see, yielding will then come from the heart. And that's why some need to seek God on this. I know that this teaching is going out. And praise God, we're praying for the word to go out. But there are some who will listen to this who have need of seeking God and returning back to their first love. Because this is the key, this is the their problem. As God clearly showed me as I was preparing this, He said this is the key to some who are not fully understanding. And they need to go back and settle this with Almighty God so that God can start to work those godly affections within their heart. And they need to start to seek and place their mind and heart on spiritual things, things that are in heaven where Christ is and not on the earth. You see, the devil knows where your heart is. The devil can see where your affections lie. He has more insight to that than the house of God, sadly. But he doesn't know all things, because he doesn't know what God is going to do in which to help you and save you. That he doesn't know. And this is why, of course, he fears the word of God. He fears it because it's a two-edged sword. And that sword is piercing and dividing asunder of soul and spirit and joints and marrow. In other words, it is our deliverance. It is working those affections and attitudes in the heart. Praise God.
Constancy, follow the master.
All life's done.